Well, it's great to be in the Lord's house today, and it's good to see so many of you on this Mother's Day. I want to read to you this morning from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verses 26 through 28. 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verses 26 through 28. And she said, this is talking about Hannah, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. Let us pray. Oh God, again, as we pause before your throne of grace, we pray that your mercy and grace would rain down upon us as we prepare to hear your word. Lord, we know that as this word goes forth, we pray that the minds and hearts of your people will be ready and willing to hear and to listen. So that as we hear and listen, we might be encouraged to be faithful servants of yours this day and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you were to look through the scriptures and just look at the subject, mother, and look at all the scriptures that mention mothers in there, you would fill up several pages. Today we honor the mother. Everyone who is present here, your biological mother, if you're a biological mother, or you may be just a natural mother. A mother that hasn't had a biological child, but you have been involved in the lives of children and touched the hearts of many a person. Jesus was very clear about how special mothers were in his ministry. We know in one time when Jesus was talking to the crowd, they came in to him when he was teaching. Some of the disciples came to him and said, "Your mother and brothers are outside." Jesus didn't just stop what he was doing to go and tend to his mother. His comment was this: "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" What Jesus was saying is that everyone are mothers and brothers and sisters to one another. We find that in the scriptures, what Jesus is saying is that we are all partners in the Lord when it comes to reaching and teaching and leading our children to be disciples of Jesus Christ. On the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, taking the weight of the whole world, the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders, they're suffering in pain for you and for me. We are told that he looked down from the cross and he saw his mother and he said to his beloved disciple there, "This is your mother. Take care of her." Partners. We are partners in the Lord when it comes to living out our lives in the community of faith and with those around us and with one another. Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. Matthew 12, 46 through 50. Whoever does the will of my Father is my mother, my brother, my sister. That puts it on a different plane, doesn't it? While families are certainly important, but you know and I know that moms do not specifically give to their children and their families. They give in so many other ways, both biological and natural mothers. In today's society, we know that parents have sort of become the whipping post for psychologists and for sitcoms. Have you ever watched some of these things? And so many times it's the parents that are stupid on these things, on these TV shows. You ever notice that? The kids are supposed to be, they seem to be the smart ones. And there's back talk and there's innuendos. All of those things flow back and forth. And we live in a time and place. You've heard it and I've heard it. You've said it and I've said it. When little Billy or little Susie goes astray, who gets the blame? The parents. The parents get the blame. We talk about it in the community. We talk about it in the church community. And yes, parents do, moms especially, and dads, they do have a great influence upon their children. We see that in 1 Samuel. But, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are human. Moms and dads are humans. Someone said, moms and dads are little children that have grown up to be big, big kids. That's so true, isn't it? In a lot of ways, it's very true. But as mothers and fathers, we are human. And so we're going to make mistakes. We are not perfect. My children would be the first one to tell you, I'm not perfect. Yes, I'm a preacher. Yes, I'm called of God. But they'd be the first ones to tell you. They'd also be the first ones to tell you that there's been many a time where I had to ask forgiveness for acting like a child and not being the mature person that I'm supposed to be. But why did I do that? Because I am a sinner. The Scriptures tell us that we are in our natural state, so many times we are not going to do the things that we want to do or ought to do. And we fail. We're going to fail. If you haven't failed as a parent, you will. Count on it. It's going to happen. But yet we see how important in the Scripture for today, what a vital role a mom can play in the life of her children. We read these verses from 1 Samuel. Hannah could not have children like all the other ladies there in that Old Testament period. And that many times women that couldn't have children were ostracized for it. What did Hannah do, the Scriptures tell us? It says that she prayed to God for a child. Now, she just didn't pray. It wasn't like the Lord's Prayer. Well, I didn't have it then, but. And it wasn't God, I'd love to have a child. No, the scriptures say that she earnestly and fervently prayed to have a child. We are told that she was so in earnest and that she was so sincere in her prayer that Eli, the high priest, thought she was drunk. Now, have you ever prayed like that? I'd love for my children to catch me praying like that. And they say, there's something wrong with Daddy. He's in there. We think he's been, maybe he took the wrong prescription drug or something. Have you ever prayed like that? Earnestly, sincerely. The preacher, the high priest, said she was drunk. And you know, when the preacher catches you in a state like that, well, you know, people tend to be a little bit more conscious of what's going on. You know what I mean? You know, I'll be around somebody and you don't even say a curse word, and they say, "Preacher, I apologize for saying that." Well, first of all, I'm not the one you need to be apologizing to. I'm not the one you need to be worried about. That's between you and God. So not only does Hannah pray now so fervently for her son, but when God answers her prayer, she names him Samuel. She names him Samuel, which means God has answered my prayer. Now, that wasn't all she did. She just didn't say, "Oh, yeah, God, you've given me a child. Thank you so much," and went on her way. No. You know what she did? She dedicated that child to the Lord. The scripture here says she lent him to the Lord. She dedicated that child to the Lord. Why? Because Hannah realized she couldn't do it alone. She realized she couldn't do it alone. Hannah realized she was imperfect. Hannah realized she was a sinner. And she knew out of thanksgiving and out of praise, because children are a gift from God Almighty. And they are precious, and we have a responsibility to lead them and guide them. So out of her thanksgiving and praise to God, she dedicated him to the Lord to be there in Eli's house with the priest. Isn't that awesome? How many of you, moms and dads, how many of you have really, really given thanks for your children and dedicated them to God, realizing that you need help in raising that child? Someone once said, you know, that parents are so inadequately prepared to raise children that their first child should be made out of plastic. I can commiserate with that. That's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? There's a lot of truth in that. And so, as Hannah sincerely prayed and gave her child to God, she knew then from that moment on that she'd done a powerful and wonderful thing by including God, the creator, the maker, the giver of all life, in the raising of that child. Now, you know, many times in the church, we say that. we bring the child up front, we baptize the child, or we dedicate the child, and we call on the whole community. We say, hey, help me here. Well, that's what we're supposed to say. I need help. God, I need help. Lord Jesus, I need help in raising this child. Not just raise the child in a natural way, but raising that child so that the values that that kid has are values that will last to eternity. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you give your child, or if that child has a $1 million personality, those things don't matter. What matters, those things are going to fade away. What matters is what kind of eternal values are we? I'm not talking about just biological mothers. I'm talking about all of you out there who have an influence in the lives of children, especially if you're a believer. You have a responsibility along with the parent to teach. You have a responsibility to lead and to guide and to be an example so that that child is immersed in the things of God and in the things of Jesus Christ. And we're going to fail. But see, that's where Jesus comes in. We're going to fail. Maybe you feel like a failure this morning. We're not going to get it all right. But that's where Jesus Christ comes in. And that's where we can go to the cross and seek and ask forgiveness. Because it was on that cross that Jesus, the sins of the world, had put him on that cross so that he was going to be separated from his biological mom here upon this earth. And he said, take over. Isn't that powerful? Take over. Help, assist in any way that you can. And you know, parents, we are in partnership with God. And we continue to be in partnership with God. No matter how old our children get, or what kind of struggles, and when they go through struggles, give it to God. Don't blame yourself. And so many times, we take on that responsibility, don't we? We do. And we feel the weight of the community. We feel the weight of maybe church members, or what your kid was supposed to be like, or how they were supposed to be. And we take that on. Jesus died for that, so that we don't have to. We give it to him, and we seek and we ask forgiveness. And the Bible says that he forgives us. You know, my dad was a stickler for eating in the car. He just didn't allow it. The car had to be pristine, clean, you know. But my dad was one of those who every Saturday he was out cleaning and washing and taking every little speck off the car. Okay. Every now and then he would give in, and we would be able to take a drink or something. But boy, if we spill something in that car. And you didn't dare put your feet up on the dash. Oh, no, not if you're sitting in the front seat. No, sir. I wasn't that strict with mine. Sometimes my car, what did our car say, would look like a wastebasket going down the road. Because, you know, when you get the kids in there and the crumbs and everything and juice is spilled all that. And you know what I'm talking about. There was a story I read that a preacher told about his children. His little boy's name was Ned. And, you know, he was one of those. He said, you know, I was one of those that whatever the child did, I'd get upset, I'd get uptight. And I was one of those that was a stickler for my car. But, you know, we put little Ned in the car anyway. And juice would spill here, there, and I would get upset. And this and that and the other. And then you go out to clean up, you know, and then it stained, right? You can't get it. Doesn't matter what you use. You go to Advance Auto, you go to this auto, you ask, can't get it out. But he said, at 4 years old, his son died suddenly. And he said after that, he would go out into that car and he would look at those things and he would look at this and he would look at that and he would say, God, if I could just have him back, I wouldn't be worried about all of those things. He could put as many drops in the car if he wanted to. If he wanted to, he could pour juice all over my head. Because he missed. You know, he missed his son. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are partners with God in raising our children. And it doesn't go without saying that moms are probably the first ones to teach our children and to teach us about God and about Jesus and about the church. They're probably, in most cases, they're the ones. Thank you, moms. And those of you that are in that role, thank you. And so a lot of believers, you know, a lot of church people are intent and are dedicated to bringing their children up in the church. Even though we live in a time and place where people are choosing not to have children. But believers and unbelievers alike are still choosing to have kids. And we live in a time when there's probably more abortions taking place than any other time in history. But yet, people still want children. And they are a gift, a wonderful gift. And God gives us the responsibility of teaching them and guiding them, but we don't have to do it by ourselves. God's presence and spirit and grace and mercy and forgiveness surrounds us when we blow it. That's what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. As we prepare to move into this day and celebrating it, you know, whether you get the chocolate candy or you're preparing to go out to eat at the restaurant or we gave flowers out this morning, what a wonderful thing to do. Mother's Day is taking on a commercialism like so many of the other holidays. But it's deeper than that. It's a spiritual and eternal task that we are called to do and to be for our children. And it doesn't end, does it? Doesn't end when they go off to college. It doesn't end when they get married. It doesn't end when they're sick. It doesn't end. It's because we love them and we care about them. Jesus loves you and cares about us. Whatever process you're in, whatever your situation your children are in, and I know Bruce spoke on this many weeks ago, give yourself some slack. Because Jesus has given us slack. Reprioritize your relationship with your children. What can we do? We can pray earnestly like Hannah did. We can ask God to touch our children and to give us the wisdom and presence of mind that we need to lead and guide them. We can expose them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can expose them to God. We can expose them to the church. We can expose them to faithful men and women who have lived or are living out the faith, because they can help us teach them and raise them. What else can we do? We can forgive them when maybe they hadn't lived the life the way that we taught them to live, and give them to God. And then we can forgive ourselves when we blow it. Because Jesus has given us that out. It's Mother's Day. What a powerful witness you are, moms and parents. Let us pray that we would continue to partner with God as we teach and raise our children, not only as parents, but as the community. I'm going to close in a moment. I'm going to close with prayer. I invite you to come to the altar if you feel so led. There's something on your heart that you need to get before God's throne. You don't have to tell me. You can tell God. Pray for your children. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, pray for them right now, today. And then pray for yourself. Let us pray. Oh God, how powerful is your word and your message to us. How powerful prayer is, as we witness that in the life of Hannah and throughout the scriptures. Lord Jesus, we are but human beings, parents, children, heirs to the kingdom. When we make mistakes, we blow it. Thank you for forgiving us, for reminding us that we are in partners not only with you, but with one another in teaching and raising our children so that they might learn about not temporal values, but eternal values. Lord Jesus, if there's one here today who does not know you, who needs to invite you into their lives so that they might experience your Spirit and grace and forgiveness, lead them to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.